LifeLock.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loray. Coming up today, we're going to listen back to some of the moments from last night's Democratic debate in Houston, which 10 of the candidates were on the stage. We'll hear some of the more interesting moments, and we're going to take your phone calls, too, and get your take on this. But first, three listener comments about yesterday's program. Yesterday, we played the documentary about the founding of WMNF. Tomorrow marks the 40th year that we'll be officially licensed to be on the air. We started regular programming 40 years ago on September 14th, 1979. We talked about the founding of MNF yesterday, and here's what three listeners had to say.
Dave, over in Dunedin, became familiar with WMNF back in 1975, I guess it was. I started USF, and I saw a little classified in the Oracle, and it said something about starting a radio station. So I thought, well, this would be kind of fun. So I went over to the University Center, and there were like 20 or 30 people, and listened to a bunch of talking and stuff, but decided I really didn't have the skills for that. And I went back to my studies with botany, got a degree, had to move away to New Mexico for a while, always listen to MNF on the internet since then, and really appreciate you guys, and hope you have another 40, another 100, whatever. Fantastic station. I hope people realize how important it is, especially in this day and age. So many people have helped the station to be what it is, and just want to say thank you guys and love everybody out there, and hope we can make a better world.
Well, there you have some of the listener comments that came in after yesterday's program. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. We're going to hear some moments from last night's debate right now. Here's some of the highlights from last night's debate. I think we're going to hear about six of the candidates, and then we'll go more deeply into the debate. There were 10 candidates on the stage. And we're going to start with Andrew Yang, and this is a promise he made last night during the Democratic debate.
It's time to trust ourselves more than our politicians. That's why I'm going to do something unprecedented tonight. My campaign will now give a freedom dividend of $1,000 a month for an entire year to 10 American families, someone watching this at home right now.
The senator says she's for Bernie. Well, I'm for Barack. I think the Obamacare worked. I think the way in which we add to it, replace everything that's been cut, add a public option, guarantee that everyone will be able to have affordable insurance, number one.
We all owe a huge debt to President Obama, who fundamentally transformed healthcare in America and committed this country to healthcare for every human being. And now the question is, how best can we improve on it?
And I plan on focusing on our common issues, our common hopes and desires, and in that way unifying our country, winning this election, and turning the page for America. And now, President Trump, you can go back to watching Fox News.
In the United States of America, we are spending twice as much per capita on health care as the Canadians or any other major country on earth.
This America.
Yeah, but Americans don't want to pay twice as much as other countries. And they guarantee health care to all people.
Your plan would
not. They do not have to buy in. They do not have to buy in.
You just said that. You just said that 2 minutes ago. You just said 2 minutes ago that they would have to buy in. You said they would have to buy in.
Have to buy in. If she qualifies for Medicaid,
are you forgetting what you said 2 minutes ago?
Be in for it.
Are you forgetting already what you said just 2 minutes ago?
And in Odessa, I met the mother of a 15-year-old girl who was shot by an AR-15. Mm-hmm. And that mother watched her bleed to death over the course of an hour because so many other people were shot by that AR-15 in Odessa and Midland. There weren't enough ambulances to get to them in time. Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47.
Things that are important, things that are unimportant.
You know, as military officers serving under Don't Ask, Don't Tell,
and as an elected official in the state of Indiana when Mike Pence was governor. At a certain point, when it came to professional setbacks, I had to wonder whether just acknowledging who I was going to be the ultimate career-ending professional setback. What I learned was that trust can be reciprocated, and that part of how you can win and deserve to win is to know what's worth more to you than winning.
Mayor Pete Buttigieg, one of the candidates on stage last night. We heard before that Joe Biden, Beto O'Rourke, Julian Castro, Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren. We heard Joe Biden again, and Andrew Yang starting that. So here's the question. Did you watch last night's debate? Did you listen, for instance, watch it on TV? Did you hear Democracy Now!'s coverage earlier today? And was your mind changed by anybody last night? Did you think one candidate was better than another? Did you find that a candidate had a really good moment or a really bad moment? If you're a Democrat, who do you like best? If you're a Republican, who would you rather run against? If you're an independent, what did you think of the candidates last night? Here's the number to call on all those questions. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. So if you have thoughts about last night's debate, we want to hear from you. We're going to talk about it for this hour. Perhaps one of the most tense moments was over healthcare between Joe Biden and Julian Castro. Biden, who is the current front runner in the polls, took a lot of fire last night from a lot of sides, and including this from former Obama Housing Secretary Julian Castro, who was arguing, too, that it's time for a new generation of leaders. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's listen to a little bit of the exchange between Biden and Castro.
Every single American family to have a strong Medicare plan available. If they choose to hold on to strong, solid private health insurance, I believe they should be able to do that. But the difference between what I support and what you support, Vice President Biden, is that you require them to opt in. And I would not require them to opt in. They would automatically be enrolled. They wouldn't have to buy in. That's a big difference, because Barack Obama's vision was not to leave 10 million people uncovered. He wanted every single person in this country covered. My plan would do that. Your plan would not.
They do not have to buy in. They do not have to buy in.
You just said that. You just said that 2 minutes ago. You just said 2 minutes ago that they would have to buy in. You said they would have to buy in.
Have to buy in. If she qualifies for Medicaid,
are you forgetting what you said 2 minutes ago?
Be in for it.
Are you forgetting already what you said just 2 minutes ago? I mean, I can't believe that you said 2 minutes ago that they had to buy in, and now you're saying they don't have to buy. You're forgetting that.
I said anyone your grandmother who has no money.
We need a healthcare system.
You're automatically enrolled.
Automatically enrolls people, regardless of whether they choose to opt in or not. If you lose your job, for instance, his healthcare plan would not automatically enroll you. You would have to opt in. My healthcare plan would. That's a big difference. I'm fulfilling the legacy of Barack Obama, and you're not.
I'll be surprised to him.
Andrew Yang.
Pretty tense there between Castro and Biden. PolitiFact is out this morning with a fact check of some of the items in last night's debate. This is what PolitiFact says about that moment. Castro's attack on Biden's health care plan falls flat, and they quote Julian Castro, the former cabinet secretary, saying this: the difference between what I support and what you support, Vice President Biden, is that you require them to opt in to a Medicare public option, and I would not require them to opt in. They would automatically be enrolled. That's a big difference. Are you forgetting what you said 2 minutes ago? We just heard that exchange. PolitiFact says this was one of the most explosive moments of the night, and it's mostly false. PolitiFact goes on to say that Castro accused Biden of changing his position in short order about the contours of his health care plan, drawing criticism from some commentators for suggesting that Biden at 76 is having memory problems. Castro's criticism falls into two categories: that Biden's plan requires people who want the public option to opt in, and that the former vice president contradicted himself on the debate stage. On the first charge, PolitiFact says, Castro exaggerated the differences between his and Biden's health care plans. Biden claimed, or Castro claimed Biden initially said people would have to opt in to Medicare and then later changed his tune and said that they wouldn't have to opt in. Biden did say at several points before Castro challenged him that enrollment would be automatic, essentially a formality. And so PolitiFact giving Castro bad marks, mostly false marks, for that exchange that we heard there. And again, our phone number is 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Well, there was another moment where former Vice President Biden drew some laughter when he had this to say last night about the importance of children hearing a lot of words in the first 3 years of life. But as you'll hear, he seemed to be a little bit distracted.
We bring social workers into homes of parents to help them deal with how to raise their children. It's not that they don't want to help. They don't know quite what to do. Play the radio. Make sure the television, make sure you have the record player on at night, the phone. Make sure the kids hear words. A kid coming from a very poor school, or a very poor background, will hear 4 million words fewer spoken by the time they get there.
All right, so Biden took a lot of heat for that because he seemed to be a little bit confused. I think what he was trying to say is that it's good that children hear a lot of words, especially between the ages of 0 and 3, because that's when their brain function is forming and their neural connections are being made. And this kids who hear a lot of words before the age of 3, especially spoken by their parents and family members, tend to do better when it comes to things like reading and processing information later in life. Pretty well known by childhood educators, and I think that Biden was trying to say that, but how he got into talking about record players and all that confused some people. That incident got brought up last night on CNN when two CNN correspondents sat down with Cory Booker, who was one of the Democrats on the stage.
We have been talking about, you know, Julian Castro when he called out Joe Biden saying, well, you don't remember what you said 2 minutes ago. Senator Klobuchar was just here telling us she thought it was a very uncool moment and rather Trump-like. What did you think in that moment?
Well, if you saw Senator Klobuchar, we were on the end. I think a lot of the debate, she and I just stepping towards each other and just talking about these notes.
Is that the cheap shot you were referring to?
I think that we are at a tough point right now because there's a lot of people who are concerned about Joe Biden's ability to carry the ball all the way across the end line without fumbling. And I think that Castro has some really legitimate concerns about, can he be someone in a long, grueling campaign that can get the ball over the line? And he has every right to call that out. I do think that tone and tenor is really important, and we can respect President Biden and disagree with him. I tried to show that in the CNN debate, where he and I have strong different disagreements. But we shouldn't do things that at the end of this, when you demonize somebody and create bad blood, it's hard to unify afterwards.
Do you think that Senator, that Biden did a better job tonight? I mean, do you think that he showed that he could take the ball over the line? I mean, you know, people are saying, look, he was stronger.
Okay, I think there was a lot of moments where a number of us were looking at us on our stage when he tends to go on sometimes. At one point, he's talking about people in communities like mine listening to record players. I don't remember the last time I saw a record player in my
community. They're back in, you know.
They're back in. The vinyl is hot right
it
now.
It is hot. I just want to let you know.
Maybe he's cooler than I am, but there are definitely moments where you listen to Joe Biden and you just wonder. But I don't know. Look,
Senator, are you saying he's just too old to be president?
No, I'm definitely not saying that, because I've listened to Joe Biden over the years and often felt like there were times that he is going on or meandering in his speech. Look, I want someone that can excite and energize and call us to a campaign like we saw back in 08 and 12, where we had the record turnouts, and somebody who can speak to the fullness of the Democratic Party. If I believe Joe Biden was that person, I wouldn't be sitting here. I believe the people who win in our party, who actually go on to be president, first of all, they're never the ones that polling ahead this far out. The people that win in our party are often people like Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, considered underdogs, but they showed the ability to inspire, to ignite, and you see these incredible, almost movement-like elections. I'm not sure if Joe Biden can do that. I believe that I'm the person that can, and that's why I'm in this primary. And criticisms of him are not in any way demeaning or diminishing. an extraordinary statesman in America, who's been at this for decades and decades. I have such reverence for him. But this moment, we don't need a safe bet. We need the person that can inspire, engage, and most importantly, at a time of a lot of different voices in our party, who can unify us to common cause and common purpose.
Well, Senator Cory Booker, being polite, but raising questions about former Vice President Biden's ability to carry the ball and saying that other candidates had legitimate concerns if the former vice president would be up for the long fight for the White House. So, again, was this debate helpful? Did it change your mind? Who had the best moment? Who had the worst moment? What was the worst moment of last night's debate? Whether you're a Republican or an independent or a Democrat, if you're a Green Party member, our phone number is 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Here's Bubba, and I'm not sure this is helpful, Bubba, but Bubba writes, if one of the candidates came out wearing a Vote for Bill the Cat and Opus T-shirt, I totally vote for that guy or gal for president, writes Bubba. All right, but what are the reasons you like these candidates, or what are the reasons you don't like these candidates? Again, our phone number, 813-239-9663, email address dj@wmnf.org. Elijah writes this, it's my belief that Biden has served our country to his fullest potential. I do not feel that he has any further contributions available. Most people, I believe, want a fresh candidate with additional complimentary, bright, and new contributions, writes Elijah. So that's Elijah's opinion. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Another moment came when Beto O'Rourke was talking about guns. And let's listen in on that moment, which has brought a lot of fire from the right.
You said, quote, Americans who own AR-15s and AK-47s will have to sell them to the government, all of them. You know, the critics call this confiscation. Are you proposing taking away their guns, and how would this work?
I am. If it's a weapon that was designed to kill people on a battlefield, if the high impact, high velocity round, when it hits your body, shreds everything inside of your body because it was designed to do that so that you would bleed to death on a battlefield and not be able to get up and kill one of our soldiers. When we see that being used against children, and in Odessa, I met the mother of a 15-year-old girl who was shot by an AR-15. Mm-hmm. And that mother watched her bleed to death over the course of an hour because so many other people were shot by that AR-15 in Odessa and Midland. There weren't enough ambulances to get to them in time. Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47. We're not going to allow it to be used against our fellow Americans anymore.
Congressman, thank you.
And I want to say this. I'm listening to the people of this country. The day after I proposed doing that, I went to a gun show in Conway, Arkansas, to meet with those who are selling AR-15s and AK-47s and those who are buying those weapons. And you might be surprised, there was some common ground there. Folks who said, I would willingly give that up, cut it to pieces. I don't need this weapon to hunt, to defend myself. It is a weapon of war. So let's do the right thing, but let's bring everyone in America into the conversation, Republicans, Democrats, gun owners, and non-gun owners alike.
Beto O'Rourke last night at the debate saying, hell yes, we are going to take away your AR-15 and your AK-47. And that brought a lot of criticism from conservatives. And this story that Twitter has removed a Texas state lawmaker's post that was seen as a threat to presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke for his comments about his plan for mandatory gun buyback programs during last night's Democratic debate. During the debate, O'Rourke reiterated his support for mandatory buyback of assault-style rifles, a proposal that he backed in the wake of a mass shooting in his hometown of El Paso in August. He said last night, hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47. And in response to O'Rourke's comment, Republican Texas State Representative Briscoe Cain tweeted at the Texas Democrat last night, my AR is ready for you, Robert Francis. And O'Rourke replied on Twitter, this is a death threat, Representative. Clearly, you should not own an AR-15, and neither should anyone else. And Cain wrote back, you're a child, Robert Francis. And Twitter has removed the post from one of the posts from Representative Francis. So what do you think about that moment? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. O'Rourke's press secretary, Aliga Cavalier, told CNN, "We are reporting this to the FBI." Representative Kane's tweet was live on social media platform for more than 2 hours before it was pulled down from Twitter on Thursday. All right, let's take some more phone calls. Our phone number, or take some phone calls, rather. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. And here's another email. I think this is so unhelpful because it doesn't really describe why people take this position. But Chuck in Tampa says, "Your candidates suck." Chuck, I'm not sure what you're referring to. Are you saying that you're not a Democrat, which is fine, and you don't like these Democratic candidates? Why don't you like these candidates? That's really my question. Name-calling, I think, is not helpful. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Either is saying that you're going to vote for a Democrat no matter who it is. Why? Let's go to Ellen in Tampa. Ellen, thanks for calling in. What were your thoughts on last night's debate? Hi, Ellen.
My thoughts were that I sometimes find listening to Elizabeth Warren just kind of hard, or just, I don't know, haven't been crazy about her presentation. But I thought last night what struck me was how consistent she is, how she really is very well versed with the facts, and she can say them very plainly, and she's not talking about how many criminals she's prosecuted or how many law cases she's handling. And I last night was the first night I really could see her in a different light. I thought initially she was kind of too schoolmarmy and kind of too, you know, lecturing to people. But last night I didn't find that. And I really think she has an opportunity to catch people's attention. Her consistency and her attention to detail, I thought, was way more impressive than some of the other really bold, broad, you know, nebulous statements without facts and ideas. And I just was very impressed with her, and I think that she has more opportunity, I think, to appeal to people over the long term of the campaign, because I also think it's way too early for polls, or not polls, but for these debates. And I also chuckle every day I hear the reports of more polling, you know, being bandied about everywhere. I mean, when look at how long the polling was in the last presidential election. But anyway, those are my thoughts.
Yeah, I was, Ellen, one of the national reporters that are covering these campaigns always point out that Elizabeth Warren has a plan for everything. And so, and they do it as kind of a backhanded compliment because they're trying to say she's too wonky. What's your take on that? But if she has thought through a lot of the issues that she's going to face as president, do you want a president that is wonky, that has thought through things, or what's your take on that?
I think I want a person who has the ability to recognize history and to manage how to project that into the future and how to bring us along into the future. I also want a person who is smart enough to be able to reconsider opinions they had in the past. If all you can do is say the same old thing every time you're asked about what your thoughts are, and you know, we've lost the whole society has kind of lost the ability for critical thinking and introspection and being able to appreciate someone else's opinion and perhaps be moved by that. I mean, that shows human growth. That shows way more intelligence than just, you know, this is what I'm saying, and that's it. That's the only way there can be.
And Elizabeth, I couldn't agree more. I think that's the kind of conversation we've got to have. We've got to have a conversation rather than name-calling, and some of our listeners are sending in name-calling or whatever, and I don't think that that's helpful. I mean, and I'm so glad you put it that way.
Well, thanks. I have to say, I was very impressed with her, and I voted for Hillary in the last election, and I actually found myself watching Elizabeth Warren and thinking to myself, well, how would Hillary have done this, or what's the difference between the two of them? Because that's a big criticism of Hillary, was it? She was too wonky. But I think over time, Elizabeth Warren has the opportunity for other people to recognize her as, you know, and appreciate her as I have come to do so.
All right.
And I just think that, you know, I thought Hillary would have been much more strident, and, you know, would look more, perhaps more polished. But I think Elizabeth Warren, by the end of this, is going to be everybody's favorite teacher.
Okay. Ellen, thanks a lot. Thank you for the call.
Okay.
All right, and thanks for breaking the gender barrier right off. It's nice to hear a woman's voice straight off. 813-239-9663. So, I think Ellen made a really good point, is that let's listen to each other and let's learn. And sometimes, you know, the more you learn, then the better decisions are made with the more information you have. 813-239-9663. Let's go to John, who's on beautiful Boca Grande. Hey, John, you're on.
Hey, Rob. I'm for Warren myself because I like people who have plans and think things out instead of just doing it all by their gut or by the seat of their pants like the current fella who's in the White House. And that thing with that representative, or I don't know if he was a representative or a senator in Texas.
He's a representative in Texas, yeah.
Yeah, making threats like that. I mean, the problem is it seems like that there's no standards or no qualifications to be a politician. So we end up with a lot of nutters, I'm sorry to say. I mean, to be an electrician or a plumber, you've got to have a lot more qualification than you do to be a politician. And we need to reverse that somehow. And let's start getting some educated people who have some ideas of what the future of this country should be. Otherwise, we're just going to sink into the morass that we're in right now, even deeper.
All right, that's an interesting thing. I wonder we know what it takes to be an electrician, and we know what it takes to be a plumber. What does it take to be a politician? What, in your mind, if you were to impose standards?
Yeah, I would think that politicians should be investigated by the FBI or something. You want to be responsible for making decisions and in the government, and I don't know how it could be done, to be honest with you, but it just seems like that we just keep getting people in there who aren't really thinking of the best interest of the country. They're thinking of how to continually get reelected by donors.
Yeah.
And they tend to go along with what the donors want and not do what's really right by the country or the people.
Yeah. All right, John, thanks a lot. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, so if you've got thoughts on what you've heard so far, you can call us up. We have one open line. You'll be able to get through right away, 813-239-9663. David writes this, I found the debate last night to be too long and too boring, so I didn't watch much of it. I found it interesting that Yang and O'Rourke had no neckties. I kind of like that look because they seem more approachable and casual and less businesslike. Mayor Pete should join the no-necktie club, too. All right. Well, I don't know if that's really a good reason to vote for a candidate. But, David, thank you for that. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@WMNF.org. Thanks to Patty Perkey and Frank Knox. They're behind the scenes making this show happen. And let's go to Patty in Sarasota. Patty, what did you think of last night's debate?
I think it was great. It was emotional, but it was the truth what Beto O'Rourke said. And I just had a question that you probably know more about than me. Everybody is freaking out about the AK-47 and the AR-15. every time anyone says anything like Beto about taking them off the roster of guns, people freak out, they're taking all our guns. I'm just curious, once you take those away, they're gone, isn't there still a large selection of many, many guns you can still buy, correct?
There is a huge selection, yes.
Okay, so why is it the moment that's spoken, people go into extreme the other way paranoia that all the guns are going to be taken?
Well, I often find this weird, too. And at some point in our history, and I think it was in the 30s or 40s, it was decided that civilians could not have machine guns. And there was not a big backlash back then when that decision was made. And I'm going to try to look into that more thoroughly because I don't have the facts at my fingertips. But now, if you talk about taking away these newer military-style weapons, then there is this big anger, like the state representative from Texas threatening Beto O'Rourke. I don't know why that is. We did have a gentleman call us up the other day who said that he needs his AR-15 to defend himself if the government turns against him. And I was...
Well,
go ahead.
Well, they're loving the government now with Trump. People that are extreme, they think he's fine and dandy. So that's the government we got. So, you know, if Trump decided to bring whoever to your door because he wanted to do something and you've supported him, what does that mean? I think also when Beto was speaking about that, I know they don't have time and everything, but I wish somebody, when they're speaking about this, would hold up a chart of every model of gun, handgun, what have you, that will be left that is okay to own after they move these other ripping guns off the market. And they will say, here's what we can have here, here's what we should not, and put it in print, black and white, whatever, for people to see what they will still have, that they can rest easy. They'll have 500 models. I don't know how many there are.
Yeah, there are thousands and thousands of weapons that would still be legal.
Great, give an overview. I don't know.
Yeah, all right, Patty.
That's reality.
Patty, thanks a lot. That's a good point. There a lot of weapons would still, a lot of guns would still be legal, even if you banned military-style assault rifles, which is what Beto O'Rourke is suggesting. Here's somebody who calls themselves Shrewd, and they say, I like Andrew Yang's unique approach of taking campaign money and making a special offer to select applicants to pay them $1,000 a month for a year to see if it makes a difference in their lives. He said he could just throw the money at PR firms and hope for the best, which is what is normally done with campaign money, or he could empathize the fact that people in the struggling classes don't get enough income to live on with this unprecedented action. Yang favors a universal basic income paid for by the taxing the rich, as automation and AI eliminate labor, a UBI is inevitable, and this person says that Yang is a standout. All right, thanks for your thoughts about that. Those are well-reasoned, and I'm not endorsing any candidate, but, you know, it's those kind of arguments, that's what we should be talking about. We shouldn't be name-calling. Let's go to Ron in Tampa. Ron, you're on. What would you like to say about last night's debate?
Well, I watched the first couple hours. That's all I could watch. I will say I like Bernie. I always have. I think his presentation was consistent with his positions in the past on economic issues. And he spoke somewhat in passing, but about the disparity between the people on the higher economic end, the large corporations, and he sort of painted what I call a warning picture about the growing disparity there. So I like Bernie. He sounded a little bit tired, and I'm not using that as a judgment against him. For what it's worth, somebody else mentioned the no-tie thing being a good... I could care less, really. I mean, to me, it's all about substance. Dressing with or without a tie, that's just when they're dressing. So I would rather see a candidate come in with what I would call substance in their understanding of economic issues, the health care situation, again, which Bernie spoke about. Elizabeth Warren, she was very good, as always. To me, she is probably one of the, in terms of pure intelligence, with her economic background, she was really making a strong case. At times, she seemed to be speaking with Rob, I want to call it like a tone of frustration, like she was pleading with people. and I don't mean to suggest that that's a weakness or she was coming across in a desperate sense, but she was trying to make points that, to her, seemed almost too obvious to ignore. And she was reaching out and saying, look, this is what's happening when it comes to certain economic things going on and so on. So overall, I like Elizabeth Warren. I think, again, she's very smart. Nobody threw out any disparaging remarks from those two, Bernie, Elizabeth Warren. So they were professional in that sense. You know, I like Beto O'Rourke as far as what he passionately spoke about the AR-15. I will tell you, I have no problem with any candidate speaking from a purely well-thought but emotional perspective. I think that's commendable and refreshing. So I will say this too. Joe Biden, I thought he did fair. I don't like the idea of him being attacked as Tafsir did. That was a little bit over the line. I understand this is a red meat kind of thing. They're going to go after each other to a degree. But at the end of the day, there needs to be some unity among all the Democrats, you know. So I think that Joe Biden, though, as others have said, I think he may have done all he can do for this country. He did seem to stumble a bit, kind of on autopilot. But, you know, I respect Joe Biden, but he's not my candidate right now. I would go with Bernie Sanders, and I'd love to see him and Elizabeth Warren, if they can bring together the best of each other.
The two most progressive candidates in the race, yeah. All right, Ron, thanks a lot. Ron, thank you for that. All right, good to hear from you. And you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. We're talking about last night's Democratic debate, and this is 88.5 FM. Kevin writes this, in Warren, we have a candidate who actually knows what she's talking about, and her ideas are more in line with workers than many people understand. All right, Kevin, thank you for that. I think Ron's point about style and substance, I think we've had so much style in presidential candidates, going back to Ronald Reagan, having Michael Deaver really kind of figure out where the best camera angles were. I remember seeing President Reagan when he was campaigning in the big sombrero. This is in 1980, before he was elected president. And in order to get the right sunlight on the audience, what they did was they staged things in the old football stadium so that they jammed everybody in a very small section of the stadium to look like he had a huge crowd. And I was there in that crowd, and most of the stadium was empty, but the way they did it for the cameras, they knew that they were only going to get a couple thousand people to that rally. So what they did was they configured the stadium to make it look like he had a huge overflowing crowd at the stadium. And I think that he's not the only candidate to have ever done that, but there's a lot of stagecraft going on, and sometimes that does trump substance, and I'm with Ron on that. I want to hear the substance of what a candidate has to say. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Danny in Tampa, who probably remembers the big sombrero. Hey, Danny.
I sure do. I was laughing when you were talking about it. I really do. I tell you what, Representative Francis from Texas, well, that's a direct threat, and they've already reported him. That, to me, I bet you there's a lot more than him that are representatives that feel the same way, that they would just be ready to go ahead and shoot people. I'm almost convinced of it, especially in the great state of Texas, as in the great state of Florida, as in the great state of Alabama, and you just go on and on and on and on. Any state, every state, especially the red states. But you know, I tell you what, Rob, I was really surprised by Julian Castro last night. I like him. I don't like him as much anymore. Last night, it was almost even to the point of being Trumpian. Well, that was what you would say mean and cruel, because everybody knows that when he met about two, you know, you don't remember what you said 2 minutes ago. Everybody knows that was a shot at his age and all that. And they were really, I mean, you know, and on top of that, it wasn't even right.
Yeah, PolitiFact said that Castro got it wrong. Yeah,
hey, got it wrong. And my sister was telling me, she likes him too. She goes, oh, my God, you know, she likes Biden too a lot. But she told me, I can't believe that. Castro said, he can, you know, that's about it for him. He was at 1%. He can forget about the vice president too. And, you know, Biden's not going to pick him if he gets to be the nominee.
Yeah, there's going to be some bad blood there, no doubt about it.
No doubt about it. I don't know what it is. But
Danny, did you watch much of the debates last night?
I didn't. You know, I tuned in. I was really watching a lot of the C-SPAN for the as far as the, because I missed it in the morning, as far as the impeachment inquiry, you know, the But then I did turn to some of the moments over there. Yeah, so I split my time. Did you see a lot of it?
No, I only saw about an hour and 15 minutes because I was over in Largo last night till late. So
yeah.
So I got home a little bit late.
And another thing too, this whole thing with Trump the other day when he was criticizing John Legend and his wife Christy Teigen. Those are people you don't criticize because they are very social media savvy, and they're not scared of him at all. And his reply to him was, oh, gee, we've nothing better to do. Just sit there and try to see if somebody's praising you on TV. Melania, please praise him. And Christy Teigen, well, I won't repeat, but I can't repeat what you said, because he said something about her being filthy mouth, which she is. She's a beautiful Asian woman. But let me tell you something. That those people, that I'm not saying that's the way to, you know, calling names, but to know that those people are not scared of Trump. And if he criticizes you any way you want to, you have a right to criticize him back, and short of threatening him.
Yeah, she really put the hammer down on President Trump in a big way. All right, Danny, thanks a lot.
By the way, Rob, you still eat a lot of spaghetti?
I do. I never got tired of it, Danny. Thanks a lot. Thank you for that. Good to hear from you. Happy birthday. DeMarco writes this, Bernie is the one 2020 U.S. presidential candidate with the broadest support of any candidate in either party. The polls cited by the corporate media are inaccurate. Bernie is the one who will deliver the U.S. for U.S. working people. The only way his opponents can attempt to discredit Bernie's proposals by misrepresentation of them and saying they're too expensive. That's part of DeMarco's long email. DeMarco, thank you for that. And then Advanced writes this, let's not focus on personalities, looks, tone, or delivery. Take a look at Warren's donors and her past votes, what her policies are, and who she has worked for in the past. That's the only way to evaluate any candidate, writes Advanced. And Chip writes this, if Bernie wasn't in the race, I'd be 100% behind Elizabeth Warren. But Bernie is clearly a superior choice, probably the best candidate this country has ever had. And I just don't understand people's hesitation to back Bernie, writes Chip. All right. Thank you for that. We're going to go back to the phones and we're going to go to Richard in Tampa. Richard, what did you think of last night's debate?
It didn't inspire me too much, Rob. None of these candidates are really speaking about certain things to solve a lot of the problems that have existed in the country. And I think we need to base a lot of our evaluation, our decisions off of their track records and being experts in these problem-solving areas. Because we need a leader who's going to stand up to Mr. Trump, who is our president right now, and you know, as long as the economy's good and the money's flowing and, you know, that's what a lot of people, that's about all they care about. We need someone who's going to light a fire into the Democratic Party's ass and get people out there interested in defeating this president and being concerned with creating change for the better of America
and Richard,
the American people.
Richard, beyond being opposed to President Trump, what's the number one problem that you'd like to solve in the country?
Well, I've mentioned it a couple times on your shows, and
people aren't taking notes, Richard. Pretend that this is your first call because people don't always remember the callers. What's the number one problem?
Well, we have to defuse this domestic violence war that we have in our country to do with people wanting to take, you know, upon themselves to take guns and take action against innocent people. So the people of America are, and the children and everybody, the future of this country, there's a lot of innocence here, and it needs to be protected. And we have to protect it. We have to stand up for what's right. I don't have any children. But if I had children, I would be in fear, and I would be on pins and needles every day that my kids were in school, knowing what's going on out there.
And yeah, that's a good thing to be working on.
Everything that's going on.
Yeah. All right, Richard, thanks a lot. Yeah, I think gun violence, and especially the killing of innocents, is a huge problem. And Richard, thanks for pointing that out. And let's go to Fran in Largo. Hi, Fran, you're on. What did you think of the debate last night?
Well, I was very glad at what Beto O'Rourke said. I think it was something that needed to be said. And his passion about it, I was I'm not a big Beto O'Rourke supporter, but I just know that he meant it. He meant it from the heart. And so many of those people have such good ideas. Not just you know, not just focusing on who's going to be president, but you know, all of them deserve their chance to speak out and make their points like Beto did. One thing that I did want to talk about, though, if I can, is I'm a baby boomer. And some of my fellow baby boomers, they just have this attitude of cynicism about things, like everybody's in it for the money when it comes to politics. There's nothing that you can do about it. It's never going to change. One person said they're going to vote for Trump because things seem to be going along okay. You try to explain things to them about climate change and things like that, and they just have this attitude of, well, I've got mine, I'm okay, the heck with everybody else. It's just, it brings me down, it's depressing. I just hope the young people get out there and vote, and I know they want change. I for the life of me, I can't, not all of my fellow baby boomers feel that way, but, you know, the ones that do, I can't for the life of me think that way. I just can't. I want some change. I want things to change. Climate change is going to, that's the biggest thing we have to worry about, and the gun problem. There's so many things in this country that need to be fixed.
All right, Fran.
That's what I want to say.
Thanks a lot. Don't give up on baby boomers. There's some great baby boomers out there. Thanks, Fran. 813-239-9663. Jerome writes this. What should a qualification for president be? One requirement, at least, should be one term in public service and elected position, preferably, writes Jerome. And then Kevin is a national co-leader, a volunteer for Marion Williamson. And Kevin writes, Marion was missing last night. We need to have a deeper conversation. Kevin saying that Marion Williamson adds to the conversation. Thank you, Kevin, for that. 813-239-9663. Bob in this email says, fully automatic weapons are legal to own and sell privately. A license and registration is all that is required. The 1986 law only restricts new sales of new weapons to military and other qualified buyers. Proof that gun regulations work. Haven't had a mass shooting with a fully automatic weapon since the 1940s, writes Bob. All right, Bob, thank you for chiming in. We're going to go to David in Clearwater. David, you're on WMNF, and we're talking about last night's Democratic debate. What'd you think?
The debate was a good debate, except it was typical. This is my plan. This is my plan. This is my plan. There were no debate issues that were face to face and argued by everybody. However, I called to suggest to the one caller and another. The recent caller said the Democrats need to do this. And the other caller said, you know, how do you get qualified for public office? We have this little system in our country called the vote and free citizenship and free press. If you read the reports and you listen to the debates, you can make a decision, but you have to get out of the house, into the car, don't even have to do that anymore in most states, and drive and vote. You've got to get the vote out. We don't vote enough. Our percentages are awful. I'm a Democrat, and I'm going to be knocking on doors and saying, I don't care who you vote for, just get out and vote, because that's the way a person is qualified for office in this country. Mr. Trump was not qualified for office. He lost by 3.5 million votes. He won by the system that exists, but if more voters had gotten out in the states where he won electoral college votes, he wouldn't be president. And that's it. You got to get out. It's a participatory thing. You got to go vote. That's all you got to do.
All right. Well, David, those are good words. We agree with you. Thanks, David. Sarah writes this. We have several great candidates who could beat Trump in debates, ideas, intelligence, strength, personality. Elizabeth, Bernie, Pete, Kamala, Corey, Castro disappointed me, but I still like him. That's the problem. Those choices will dilute in the vote, and Joe could win the primary and won't beat Trump. Weaker in all aspects. So Trump might win, and God help us, writes Sarah. That's Sarah's email. I hope I read that right, Sarah. Jeffrey writes this. What the hell, Rob? The only two progressive candidates are Bernie and Warren? Question mark. I guess even you will ignore Tulsi Gabbard. Wow. Jeffrey, thank you for that. Well, Tulsi was not in last night's debate. I think the last debate she was in, though, I did play some sound bites from her. I won't ignore her, but Jeffrey, thanks. Thanks for prompting me. It's good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. And David, thank you for your phone call. Let's go to Don in St. Pete, who's been holding for almost 15 minutes. Don, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
I had a libertarian friend last week actually challenge me in the next debate, listened to for a couple of different things, and I kind of ignored him. But I tell you, last night after listening to the debate, for some reason it came back to me what he said, and that was every one of the candidates on the Democrat side offer solutions to their solutions include government, and I am your you can't do it yourself. Government has to do it for you or assist you in any way. And the more I listened to it, the more infuriated I became at what an idiot the candidates believe that I am, that I can't do things on my own, that I need their money. Yang, for example, I need to have $1,000 in my, I own my own business. I've done a lot of things on my own, and I just became more and more angry the more I listened to the candidates speak about how I and all of the rest of us can't do it on our own, and we need government and them in order to get us through it.
And Don,
so that's my point.
All right, Don, thanks a lot. Did you ever hear President Trump say that I am the one, I am the one? Remember when he did that? I am the only one who can blank. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I am the only one. And then if you follow it up, he's essentially saying, I'm taking away the restrictions. I'm not restricting you. You're doing it on your own.
Well, when he does,
I'm the only one that,
right, and what the president is doing,
I'm going to take the layers of bureaucracy away from you. Look at everything that he's doing.
Well, Don, I think, Don, give me a second here. What the president is doing, when you say bureaucracy, what the president is doing is he's taking away protection for wetlands. So we're all concerned about clean water, right? And the president, just this week, is taking away some of the protections for wetlands that were put in place by President Obama. So when you say bureaucracy, and I think you're actually the libertarian you're talking about, which is okay, but you should be a little bit more honest. When the president says he's taking away the bureaucracy, what he's doing is those are the protections that protect the environment, or those are the protections that protect human life in many cases. So, you know, we may think that we can all do it on our own, but I can guarantee you that you use the government every day. You use the water system, you use the sewer system, you use the education system, you use the banking system that's regulated by the government. So a small business person doesn't do it by themselves. They do it with a whole lot of help from the government. And the last time we didn't have a government to help us, we were all cavemen. So, Don, thanks a lot. Thanks for your phone call. Good to hear from you. And let's go to Ken and Lutz. Ken, you're on. What would you like to say?
So I thought the debate was pretty interesting. My largest complaint, I guess, or criticism, or, you know, just observance, is they talk about the candidates on both sides, talk about the ideas. They don't really talk about the execution. And I guess, maybe I missed it, but I don't know what they plan on doing with all the people that currently work in the insurance industry when they move to a government-funded system. I don't understand how they're going to do anything that changes an amendment to the Constitution without a complete change to that amendment, which is doable, but they would have to do that first, I would think, to fix an amendment. I mean, you just can't, like, the president just isn't the king, even though, you know, the one we have currently may think so. They're not the king. There's no real depth to anybody that was on that stage. I'm going to take away your guns. Yeah, that's great. You're not going to take away anything. I don't own any guns. But you're not going to take anything without some significant help from the Congress. And maybe the idea then is you win both houses and you change it, and then you get two-thirds of the state. I don't know what the plan is. And if the idea is to cut down on gun violence, again, I own no guns. If the guy, especially in the schools, why aren't we walling the schools like they do in countries where they're where they decide they're going to protect the children.
Yeah,
entry and
Ken, 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 those are all great points, and that's why we have these shows. But you were the last caller today, and we were out of time. There's a whole, there's 3 hours of programs that we could take talking about the issues that you raised. How do you get from A to Z? It's a really good question, but you can't do it in the last 30 seconds of the show. I wish we had more time. Stay tuned for Janelle Irwin. She's coming up next. Happy birthday to WMNF. I'll see you at the Coliseum tomorrow night in St. Petersburg for MNF's birthday celebration. Thanks to Patty Perkey and Frank Knox for being our phone producer today. This is WMNF in Tampa.